An almost naked Indian was very slowly climbing down the ladder from the first-floor terrace of a neighbouring house, rung after rung, with the tremulous caution of extreme old age. His face was profoundly wrinkled and black, like a mask of obsidian. The toothless mouth had fallen in. At the corners of the lips and on each side of the chin, a few long bristles gleamed almost white against the dark skin. The long, unbraided hair hung down in grey wisps round his face. His body was bent and emaciated to the bone, almost fleshless. Very slowly he came down, pausing at each rung before he ventured another step. "What's the matter with him?" whispered Lenina. Her eyes were wide with horror and amazement. "He's old, that's all," Bernard answered as carelessly as he could. He too was startled, but he made an effort to seem unmoved. "Old?" she repeated. "But the director's old. Lots of people are old. They're not like that." "That's because we don't allow them to be like that. We preserve them from diseases. We keep their internal secretions artificially balanced at a youthful equilibrium. We don't permit their magnesium-calcium ratio to fall below what it was at 30. We give them transfusions of young blood. We keep their metabolism permanently stimulated. So of course they don't look like that. Partly," he added, "because most of them die long before they reach this old creature's age. Youth almost unimpaired till 60, and then crack, the end." But Lenina was not listening. She was watching the old man. Slowly, slowly, he came down. His feet touched the ground. He turned. In their deep sunken orbits, his eyes were still extraordinarily bright. They looked at her for a long moment, expressionlessly, without surprise, as though she had not been there at all. Then slowly, with bent back, the old man hobbled past them and was gone. "But it's terrible," Lenina whispered. "It's awful. We ought not have come here." She felt in her pocket for her soma, only to discover that by some unprecedented oversight she had left the bottle down at the rest house. Bernard's pockets were also empty. Lenina was left to face the horrors of Malpace unaided. They came crowding in on her, thick and fast. The spectacle of two young women giving the breast to their babies made her blush and turn away her face. She had never seen anything so indecent in her life. And what made it worse was that, instead of tactfully ignoring it, Bernard proceeded to make open comments on this revoltingly viviparous scene. Ashamed, now that the effects of the soma had worn off, of the weakness he had displayed that morning in the hotel, he went out of his way to show himself strong and unorthodox. "What a wonderfully intimate relationship," he said, deliberately outrageous, "and what an intensity of feeling it must generate. I often think one must have missed something in not having had a mother. And perhaps you've missed something in not being a mother, Lenina. Imagine yourself sitting there with a little baby of your own. Bernard, how can you?" The passage of an old woman with ophthalmia and a disease of the skin distracted her from her indignation. "Let's go away," she begged. "I don't like it." But at this moment their guide came back and, beckoning them to follow, led the way down the narrow street between the houses. They rounded a corner. A dead dog was lying on a rubbish heap. A woman with a goitre was looking for lice in the hair of a small girl. Their guide halted at the foot of a ladder, raised his hand perpendicularly, then darted it horizontally forward. They did what he mutely commanded, climbed the ladder and walked through the doorway, to which it gave access into a long, narrow room, rather dark and smelling of smoke and cooked grease and long-worn, long-unwashed clothes. At the further end of the room was another doorway, through which came a shaft of sunlight and the noise, very loud and close, of the drums.